see the title of the message is Deeper Blessings. We all want to be blessed, don't we?
Yes.
Nothing wrong with being blessed, is there? Nothing wrong with wanting to be blessed. As long as we go about it correctly. You know, wanting God's blessing often causes problems, though. The first problem is that we misunderstand what a blessing is. Blessing doesn't mean we get everything we want. He's got better things for us than what we think we want. But the second problem is that we think we deserve blessings, as if God owes us something. Only we deserve is death and hell.
Right.
Everything aside from that is the grace of God. Right. We thank Him for His salvation, His abundant life. And here's a quick truth here, is God loves to bless us. He loves to bless you and I, but He owes us nothing. He blesses so much that we all receive a blessing. In Matthew 5:45, it says this, "For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." God is so good that He even allows the wicked to enjoy His blessings. You ever seen it rain only on a believer's ground?
No.
Does the sun only shine on a believer's ground?
No.
Even the wicked get to enjoy His blessings. If you would open up to Psalms chapter 1 today. See, there's much deeper blessings for the believer than the wicked will know until they come to the Lord. And a believer has eternal life. Is that a blessing?
Amen.
It's awfully quiet out there. I'm scared. A believer has eternal life.
Amen.
If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ and called upon Him as your Savior, your sins have been washed away. They're paid for by the blood of Jesus. The believer has peace with God because he's been made righteous by Jesus Christ. Is that a blessing?
Yes.
Oh man, peace with God is such a blessing that we call Him Father, Friend. A believer has the joy of the Lord. This is an internal contentment based on the promises of God. Do you have that? Then you should say, I shall not want. My God's already provided to me. But if we will, in Psalms chapter 1, see what God opens up the book of Psalms with. If you would stand today, if you're able, for the reading of God's Word, we're going to do a little bit differently today. Let's read this together. I'll read the odd verses. And if you'll read the even ones together, let's read this together. It'll be on the screen behind me for Unified Version. But in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in his judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for allowing us to call you Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, paying a price that we could not pay so that we could have peace and joy within you. So we can have an intimate relationship with you. As you put your hand upon each one of us here today, that our desire would be those deeper blessings from you. And that we would understand how deeply blessed we are. We thank you for being right here with us. We thank you for your word. As that you would do your work in this hour. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let me see you, please. scripture jumps out to us as we read this passage, and hopefully you've read it or studied it before. It's a very convicting, very strong passage. And the first thing I see here is the blessed, because verse 1 starts, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. General word man, don't get offended. Okay, blessed is he. Some versions say the word happy. Happy is the man. Yeah, that's an okay translation of the word from the Hebrew. I don't care for that word in this translation because of today's culture. We view happiness differently than what God is speaking here. Happiness today is an emotionally based feeling. In other words, it's very temporary. Happiness goes with what's going on right now. So there's a difference in a blessing, in my view, than just simple happiness. But here, God is referring to a spiritual happiness. An inward happiness. A contentment. See, many people have a lot of stuff. And on the exterior, they look pretty happy. But that's very temporary. You take away the situation, you take away the stuff, and they're empty all over again. See, yet, those very people that have a lot of stuff, and that's what makes them happy, they don't have the peace that God offers, the joy of the Lord. They don't have the hope of eternity. And people with the joy of the Lord, now I'm saying understand the joy of the Lord, that take joy in the Lord and in fellowship and intimacy with God, they don't stop rejoicing, even when they go without. They don't stop rejoicing when they start to suffer. Study about that Paul this morning in Sunday school. That Paul, even in the middle of his suffering, he spoke about, well, I see God's grace through my suffering. And if God can be made known, so be it. Well, that's a different type of happiness, isn't it? That's not Goosebump City. That's a God-given joy. You know, so joy is that internal peace and contentment that's not affected by your emotions, because it's that deeper blessing that God has provided joy. He has provided peace by sending His Son to shed His blood and wipe away any issue that's between you and God, cleansing those sins away. He's the one that brings comfort to us, because He calls Himself as the Holy Spirit. The Comforter. He gives us a clear conscience. And all this comes from an intimate relationship with Him. So who receives this blessing that God gives to us? Look at verse 1 again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let's look at that just a little bit today, because a man that has this blessing does not follow this progress of sin. Understand that sin has a progress that it will drag you through. And sin is not, the ultimate sin of Satan is not to get you to say a lie or to steal a cookie. The ultimate sin of the devil is to use those little sins that we would call little to drag you to a deeper and deeper sin, to make you more and more comfortable to distance yourself from the ways of God. And we, in this passage, we see that very thing. First off, a man that wants this blessing from God walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. This is the first step that happens very often and being dragged away from the blessings of God and the intimacy of God. Notice the term walketh. The term walketh means to approach, to go to. A man blessed by God does not go to the ways of the ungodly. A blessed man does not approach the unsaved way, the counsel, the advice, the ways of those that do not follow God. You hear me? In other words, a man that wants the blessing of God does not go to Oprah Winfrey for advice. You got marriage issues? Don't go to Oprah for help. You got parental problems? Don't listen to Dr. Phil. I know a lot of his advice is good. He calls himself a Christian. We need to go to Scripture. See, when it comes to your financial problems, don't look at the worldly advice for it. Because the worldly advice is pile up as much as you can for yourself. That contradicts God's word, doesn't it?
Amen.
A blessed man listens and follows God's word. And the first step, he says, he's not going to walk into the counsel of the ungodly. He knows where to look for counsel, direction, and guidance. But when a man does listen to the ungodly, you'll start being entertained by it. It'll get your attention. You ever notice that? You get your eyes off of the righteous things of God, the holy things of God, and you allow yourself to start peeking over. And what happens? It starts to look a little fascinating, a little interesting. You go all the way back to Eve. It's almost like she was already peeking at that fruit when Satan approached her. They say, yeah, it looks good, don't it? That's what happens. It starts to entice us and look. You look good to us. See, and a godly man will not, it says, standeth in the way of sinners. See, the next step after you've walked to is you begin to stand. Stand with means to become acquainted with or to support something. You with me? You see the comfort level starting to grow? Because it got my attention, I entertained it for a while, now I go over to it. And he says, a godly man, a man who receives the blessings of God, standeth not in the ways of sinners. So he's not wanting to become acquainted or to support sin. A man blessed by God with the joy and the peace of God cannot be one that supports or enjoys the ways of sinners. You see the progression of the word too, went from ungodly to sinner. See, the ungodly means unsaved, and the sinner is one whose life violates God. Just got a little bit deeper, a little bit harder. A man blessed by God with his joy will not entertain the ways of sinners. Too often this has become acceptable in churches. You with me? Often, the one that's in here on Sunday mornings singing praises and worship to the Lord will be the one at school cussing the teacher out on Monday. Will be the man that on Fridays at the bar. It'll be the one that's cheating on his taxes. The one that gossips around town. The one that's known as an old grouch. The one that's hateful to his spouse. Then he'll come in there on Sunday like everything is good and sing praise songs to our Lord. They cannot receive the deeper blessings of God because their walk is not intimate with God. And God in Psalms 1 tells us, blessed is the man that does not do this. But see, when a man stands in the way of sinners, he'll eventually become part of them. Wait a minute. Birds of a feather. When you play with sin long enough, that becomes who you are. A godly man will not, what scripture here says, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. See? Went from ungodly to sinner to scornful. What is scornful? That's the one that mocks the way of God. Jokes about purity and righteousness. Thinks it's not important. And suddenly, the progress of sin will pull you all the way there without you knowing it. To where you too will be like, it's no big deal, church. You see, he says sitting with. Godly men will not sit with the scornful, because sitting with shows association. It's a comfort of being a part of them. On visitations, going into someone's house, many times I would just go to the door and we speak. That shows we're not as close. Sometimes they'll invite, they'll just step inside the door and we'll speak. But then there's those times where I actually get to sit down and we spend time together. You see the relationships a little closer, each one, isn't it? Same with sin. When you become so close to it, you're associated, you're comfortable with it. It's become part of your life. Too often, those in a church are more known for ungodliness than they are of the love of the Lord. Can I repeat that? Too often, those in church are more known for their sinfulness, their ungodliness, than they are for their worship of the Almighty God. I shared before, anymore we don't hear the term, but that's a God-fearing person. That's sad. That should be our reputation. Even if they're laughing at you, it would be nice to hear somebody say, that's one of those God-fearing people. We'll hear it no more, do we? That should be our life. A vow would be to honor God so much that that's what people see in our lives. But it's become very comfortable to sit in the seat of the scornful and come on Sunday mornings and pretend to worship the Holy God. This is why Matthew chapter 18 and 1 Corinthians 15 are very harsh, and they direct the church in confronting and disciplining sin within the church. Not fun to do, but it's needed on a regular basis. Regular basis? Yes, it's called accountability. If we do it right, it never becomes public. You ever had someone come to you, brother, the words you kind of just used, brother, were not God honoring. You know, the way you spoke to that person really doesn't represent Christ very well. And if we would say, oh, I hadn't thought of that, thank you. What a time of growth, isn't it? But when our heart says, hey, shut up, it's none of your business. What's it to you? What happens is I get calloused rather than growing together. And my self-righteousness starts to come out. Oh, well, you think you're better than me? It's not the point. Christ is better than you. Amen? We are called to accountability to deal with those within the church that are becoming comfortable with sin, not to nitpick people's lives. When you're changing channels the other day, you went over that one channel and you were sinful. I heard you listen to that country song. It talks about dying dogs. You've heard it before. Maybe you have people in churches that are so self-righteous, they'll nitpick anything they can find that makes them feel holier than thou. They call them Pharisees. That's not what we're here for. We want to help each other grow, don't we? Amen. We want to keep God's church holy. And so therefore, God has given us ways to confront and deal with sin. And really, that horrible step of putting people out is only done when that person has shown a hard heart that does not want to get right. You see, Scripture tells us to do this. Why? To bring them to repentance, to protect the name of the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, and to keep sin out of the church. Why? Because blessed is the man that does not go in the way of the ungodly, the sinners, and the scornful. Blessed is the man, so therefore, blessed is the church that does not go in those ways. If someone approaches you about sin or the appearance of sin, comes to you in love as a brother and says, brother, just for a thought, you look them in the eyes and you say, thank you. It's hard, ain't it? Our flesh tells us to defend ourselves, show we're better than them. But if they come to you in love, it's the most loving thing someone can do for you. No amens on that one. See, anybody that'll do that be doing it because they love you. They're doing it as a favor. See, verse 1 tells us what a blessed man does not do. Verse verse 2 tells us what he does do. See, the second thing, the second point is blessed enjoyment. What's a blessed enjoyment? What does a godly man enjoy? Christian music? Crosses and angels decorated everywhere? Little church pictures? What's a stereotypical Christian? Jesus shirts? No, look at verse 2. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He loves God's word. Now don't answer this out loud, because it's going to put everybody in a spot. But do you love God's word? Now, do you really love God's word? Or do you just like the idea of God's word? Do you like the stories of Jesus? Or do you really love God's word? You see, he says here, his delights. The man who is blessed by God are deeper blessings. He says his delight. That means his pleasure. What he enjoys. Now understand that when you enjoy something, it's not been forced upon you, amen? When someone forces something upon you, you in turn grow to hate it, don't you? How many people have you invited to church and no, my mama used to drag me to church. I ain't never going again. Ever run into one of those? Parents, let's take our kids to church in love and teach them why we go and teach them to love the church. Why? Because the church are the people of God. It's the unity of the people of God. It's the body of Christ. But this man that is blessed of God, his delight, his pleasure, is the word of God. He knows the value, the privilege of having it. He has a passion for it. He pursues after knowledge of God. He takes pleasure. What does he delight in? The word of the Lord. The law of the Lord. That's God's instructions, God's ways. We call it the word of God. How often would that identify you or I as lovers of God's word? Would you carry the term as Bible thumper? I've heard that you've been used before, right? He's just a Bible thumper. Thank you. You see, do we look forward to the time that we get to sit down in the quiet and read God's word? No, I don't mean someone else read it to me. Whenever you send me love letters, you guys know this. I didn't go to my buddy and say, hey, will you read this for me? Hey, while you're doing it, will you smell her perfume too? No, you know what? I want an intimacy with God that I want to read what he has sent to me. I want to study. I want to know him. Do I look forward to it? Do I get excited to learn more about my God? Do you get excited for the preaching of God's word? Guess not. Thank you, Charlie. See, let me ask you a question I've asked before, and I don't want anybody to answer it well. But I hope you would think about this, and when you leave here, don't stop thinking about this. How would your life be different if you didn't have God's word? How would your life be different if you didn't have God's word? If this nation becomes like nations have done in the past, that come in and take away all of our Bibles, how will your life change?
I'd be dead.
Each of us have to confront this issue. I think most of us would be like, oh, boy, they're taking this out of my hand, boy. They wouldn't have to. They couldn't get it off the counter and it's been sitting on it for 3 months. They might have to take it out of your back seat of your car and it's been there forever. Right? How is it that it would affect your life if you can honestly evaluate your life and say, man, I'd have a half hour a day that I wouldn't be breathing as I always do. I wouldn't know where to go to for counsel and advice. You may be okay. But if you can say, you're in trouble. Because the man that is blessed by God is one that loves God's word and loves God's way. We each know passions of each other, don't we? Most of y'all know that I'm a Chiefs fan. Just by chance, you might know. You may have picked up on subtle hints. And by the way, Thursday, NFL season starts. Just throwing it out there. Dixie's excited, I can tell. And I usually know which ones in here are John Deere people versus Case people. The red versus the green, right? I know those in here that like the hunts, like the quilts, like to chat and just enjoy fellowship and talking with them. I know them. Those that like to dance, sing, cook. We know things like that about each other. Just a watch and an observation. But do we love God's word so much that we delight in it too? That it is seen that we have a passion for it? We look forward to reading it so that we can draw deeper our walk with God. You with me? And then when we read it, we're not done with it. Because then verse 2 tells us we meditate on it day and night. How often have you read the scriptures? And it doesn't leave your mind. You just keep chewing it up and chewing it up and chewing it up. And like a cat, what to do? Swallow it, throw it back up so you can chew it some more, and swallow it again. Now you got that great visual in your mind. Some God's word is for us. It's not like we read it and did the magical trick. Oh, I'm done now. Well, you walk away saying, hopefully in prayer, God, use that in my life. Use that in my life. Encourage me through it. Teach me through it. Bring conviction to me through it. Just use it in your way. And he will. Meditate therein, day and night. Let it control your mind, shape your life. Too often we want God's blessings without the intimacy that is needed. And we can have God's general blessings, but without intimacy with Him through His Word, we're going to miss the deeper blessings. If you love God's Word, and you really love it, and you pursue and go after it, He's going to give you power. And the third thing is the blessed power. This is the last point that I really want to look at. He gives you a blessed power when we are intimate with God. He gives us the needed power for whatever He calls us to. As believers, the moment we are saved, He gives us the Holy Spirit, doesn't He? What type of Spirit does He give?
Holy.
Spirit of power? Holy Spirit of power? In 1 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given unto us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. When you are saved, God gives you the needed power. He empowers His people for godly living. Well, I just can't get over that. It's because you ain't letting the Spirit of God have His work in you, because you don't love the Word of God that it takes to feed the Spirit of God to strengthen you. He gives you His power. It's a power that overcomes darkness and shines bright. And look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A man blessed by God is made powerful like a mighty tree that has all the nutrients it needs to grow, to strengthen. A tree was a perfect picture for the dry land in Israel. I think, what? Because it's hard to survive. It's hard for that tree to make it in that dry land. But who is he talking about? Is he really talking about a tree? He's talking about you and I, isn't he? He's talking about believers. We live in a spiritually dry world. It's hard for us to survive and to walk a godly life like we're supposed to walk today, isn't it? So we must better absorb all we can to build the strength we need. Because this world is dry. And yet we have access to all the water we need between His Word and His Spirit. Here He describes a growing believer, a blessed man, as a mighty tree that is strong. Notice that he's planted. You notice that? He's planted by the river. He's planted by the waters. Not an accidental wild growth. Not some seed that fell on the ground somewhere and sprouted up. None of us, with me, are going to accidentally love God. With me? None of us will accidentally love God. None of us will accidentally love God's Word. With me? You're not going to be walking through the hallway someday and go, "Whoa, this is awesome. I love God's Word." No. Just like in a relationship of marriage, that you build a friendship and a bond, and then you think you're in love when you're at that wedding, and you realize 20 years later, that was nothing when I said I do. I get a yee-haw from your husbands? Because the more you get to know your wife, the more you love them, the more intimate time you spend with them, I should say. Why do marriages fail? We fail to be intimate. Fail to invest in one another and focus on each other. Well, God's Word is going to take you having a desire to grow intimate with God and open up His Word and read it and pray over it. And you will grow to the point of saying, "That's good stuff." You ain't going to be looking for the movie or the book. You want the book itself. Yeah? Any other book, I want the movie. Y'all can read the book. I had a debate online with somebody the other day. She said that the books are always better than the movie. I said the book is never better than the movie if you don't read the book. But this is the exception. There is no movie that's going to tell you what God's Word will tell you. There is no movie that's going to change your life, transform you, and guide you like the Word of God will. So notice that this man is planted purposefully. Not expecting to accidentally live for God, but diving in so that he has the power to live for God. God's not going to accidentally do great things through you. God is going to purposefully do great things for you because you're faithful to Him because of your love for Him. We must decide to plant ourselves in God's Word. Not just so we can have it and talk about it and know it, but so that He can grow us and work through us with His power. We can learn to appreciate who He is, what He's done, and what He's going to do. We've been talking about what we're going to do on Wednesday nights quite a bit. We're reading through the book of Revelation, studying on Wednesday nights. We're going to start back this Wednesday because, I apologize, been gone for about a month now. But I'm ready to jump in. Anybody else? Amen. And we're at a part of Revelation that's a good place for you to start if you missed the rest. So come on up Wednesday night at 6:30. We're going to continue to see what God is going to do. But He brings forth fruit. The scripture says there in verse 3 that tree brings forth fruit. The water affects the tree. Right? It was shared with me. Jared and Joe talking to them about farming. Because, you know, this guy don't know nothing about farming. I don't even plant gardens. But with this dry time that we have had, how that affects the corn. Yeah, you might have a pretty plant out there, but if it's not getting water, there's no corn in that ear because it didn't get the water. And it starts to kill the plant to start giving its water to the fruits. Am I right? and yet there's not enough there. You see, when there's not water to come, there's no fruit that's going to be put out. And if you're not being consuming the water that God has given to us, the Word of God that you should love, there's not going to be the fruit coming out that should be coming out of your life. You and I are going to struggle in our purpose of honoring God without absorbing His Word. You with me? Actually, letting the water change us, growing us. When we have the water coming regularly, you with me? We allow it to start changing us. We will have the right fruit in the right season. And it will be a blessing. Without water, there's no fruit. Without the law of God, there's no growth. In verse 3 says, His leaves never wither. He remains green and flourishing, alive and growing. Blessed or a happy man. A godly man continues to grow. What am I? A godly man continues to grow. His light continues to shine. His works are beautiful as the green of the tree. They're refreshing to others like the shade of the tree. And he goes on at the end of verse 3, and whatsoever he doeth prospers. Now there's people out there that think that everything they do turns to gold. But God says that those that are obedient to him, that submit to him, that his power work through them, what they do will prosper, because it's not for us doing it, it's the power of God working through us to accomplish it. And a well cared for tree continues to provide the fruit for nutrition, the shade for comfort, the beauty for enjoyment, and the shade that's needed for refreshment. When we continue to grow in Christ through God's Word, we will be empowered to fulfill our purpose. You catch that? If we continue to grow in God's Word, then we are empowered to fulfill the purpose He's given to us. Amen. You can't do it on your own. You might do a whole lot of good things, but don't please God when you do it on your own. He wants to work through you. He gets the glory. And that's why in Psalms 34, 37 verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. That verse has been mangled, and I've shared it before because people like the end of it. He shall fulfill the desires of your heart. No. First, delight yourself also in the Lord. If your pleasure and your enjoyment is to come to know God, spend time with God, submit to God, get to know God, then what He does, He transfers your heart, transforms your person, changes your passion. He changes your wants, and your desires and excitement will now be to honor God and let Him work through you. So the more of God's Word you're digging in, the more He will work through you. So listen to this last verse in Joshua 1, verse 8. As Joshua was called to do a mighty work, to take over for some guy named Moses. Probably the greatest leader to ever live aside from Jesus Christ. And he was scared to death. And you know what he was told? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want to be successful in the purpose God has given to you? Do you want to live a godly life? Do you want to introduce Jesus to others? Do you want to shine for the Lord? Spend time in God's Word. Let it be your passion, your love. And there's a pattern right here in this verse in Joshua 1:8. Read, meditate, obey, then prosper, and then success. Where does it start? Reading, study, coming to know, spending time in. Want to be blessed? Love God's Word. Would you stand with me? comes to in the love of God is to know Him through He is. What is God to you? Is it His thing you worship on Sunday? Or is He your entire life? Is He who you honor at work? Is it who you're talking about at church? Is it the one you're representing at school? Is it the one that you're bowing down to in every business that you go through? Because He should be our all in all, shouldn't He? Sing a song with us as we close today. You're my all in all. Mighty ways. Brother Carlos, would you close us in a word of prayer?